Aloha everyone, my name is Jenny and I just want to welcome you to New Hope Windward Online. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Now in a few moments we'll have a great message for you, but right now we are going to worship God through our giving. But before we give, I'd like to share a Bible verse that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. John 3:16. Some of us might recognize it as the verse that Tim Tebow painted under his eyes for a national championship football game, while others of us know it by heart as the cornerstone Bible verse for our salvation in Christ. And it goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But have you ever thought about this verse in terms of giving? It tells us that God gave us his one and only Son. Why? Because he knew that we were doomed without Jesus going to the cross for us. And so, motivated by an overwhelming sense of love for us, God acted and gave us the greatest gift of all, his Son Jesus. Now, love is often expressed through action, and God modeled that for us in the greatest and most generous way possible. Now, in a similar way, we express our love for God through our actions, whether it's in worship, offering a word of encouragement to someone who is down and out, helping someone who is struggling and in need, and in our giving. In fact, the Bible says that giving is one expression of our love for God, and that each should give according to what he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so, as we prepare our hearts to give today, would you consider your giving not simply just a contribution to the church, but as an act or expression of your love for God for giving us the greatest gift of all in his Son, Jesus. Now at the bottom of the screen, you'll see three easy, safe, and secure ways to donate. By clicking on the Give tab on our website, you can give a one-time gift or have it recurring. Another way to give is by texting the word donation to the number on your screen and follow the instructions. Or if you prefer, you can mail in your gift to the address below. Now would you bow your heads with me as I lead us in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. You have given us the greatest example of what love looks like when you offered up your Son Jesus on the cross to pay for our sins. And although we can never repay you, we offer you with cheerful hearts what we give today as an expression of our love for you. Would you take what we give and use it so that many others will be reached for your kingdom and their eternities changed forever? We honor and worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And today we are continuing in our Stay Positive message series, and we're going to hear a great message from Pastor Dave. So wherever you're joining us from, would you join me in welcoming Pastor Dave?
Well, welcome to New Hope Windward Online. If you're new here, we are one church that meets in multiple locations. And I want to say hi to all of you where we broadcast our services. Aloha to all of you at the Plaza and Ann Pearl. I want to say hi to all of the women at the Women's Community Correctional Center in Hinamauka. A big old shout out to all my brothers in Swirl, Arizona, who are watching at the Swirl Correctional Center. Thank you guys for being with us. We're so honored to have you guys with us. I want to also welcome all of you here in Hawaii and around the world. And I want to just say this before I dive into the message that I miss seeing you all. I miss gathering and worshiping together. And I just want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. And I'm so glad that you're with us here today. Well, it's hard to believe that we've been experiencing this COVID crisis for 5 months now. And with all of the COVID-related changes, so many people are caring more, they're supporting more, they're experiencing more. They're under prolonged stress. In fact, all of us are under prolonged stress. And a lot of people I've talked to, they're saying things like, "Dave, I just feel fatigued." For some people, it's low levels of fatigue. For other people, it's high levels. Some people are saying, "I'm fatigued financially," or "I'm fatigued with all the changes at work," or "I'm fatigued with these relational struggles I've been experiencing." And I talked to somebody that said, "Dave, I'm just tired. I'm not tired physically. I'm tired on the inside. I'm just done with this pandemic." And I think a lot of us feel that way. We're just done with this pandemic. And we could use some positive news. And so we've been in a series called Stay Positive. And today what we're going to talk about is how we can be overcoming fatigue and burnout. And I want to encourage you to listen to the entire message because at the end we have a testimony and something special for you. And so stay tuned for the entire message. I think you'll find that very helpful and a blessing to you. So as I was preparing for this message and hearing, you know, how people are fatigued and whatnot, I just started to think, like, how do you know if you're burned out? Like, how does a person know when they're burned out? So some people answered this question. You know you're burned out when they finished the words to this question in their own words. So you know you're burned out when. Here's what they said. You know you're burned out when you've pictured yourself body slamming that one person at work who's always smiling and happy. Now, no act, no lie. Come on, don't tell me you've ever had some of those fantasies. All right? Or how about this one? You know you're burned out when you'd rather be infested with ukus than spending time with your other half. Now, for those of you not in Hawaii, ukus are lice. Here's one. You know you're burned out when you think you would like to work at KFC because it might be nice to see something more fried than you. And by the way, no, that is not me. Okay? I'm offended that you even thought that. So, how do you know if you're really burned out? I mean, there's some humorous ways that people responded to it, but it got me thinking, like, how does somebody know if they're experiencing low levels of burnout or high levels of burnout? And so I put together an adapted assessment from the Mayo Clinic to help you know if you are burned out, to help you know if you're experiencing low or high levels of fatigue and burnout. So here's the first question. Are you feeling cynical or more critical at work? Now, if the answer is yes, I want you to just put your finger out because I want you to tabulate how many yeses you have to this assessment. Here's the second question. Are you lacking motivation to do your work? If so, go ahead and tabulate that. Are you drained, irritable, and impatient with others? Like, just more than normal. You find yourself snapping more, getting really impatient, more than normal. Go ahead and tabulate that on your hand. Are you finding it hard to concentrate at times throughout the day? Here's some more questions. Are you feeling little to no satisfaction? In other words, are there some things that used to give you some satisfaction, but when you do them, you don't have any more satisfaction? If so, go ahead and tabulate that on your hand. Are you having difficulty sleeping or sleeping too much? Here's another question. Are you self-medicating? Are you overeating or using drugs or alcohol or self-medicating by spending impulsively? So go ahead and just tabulate. How many of these did you say yes to? Now, according to the Mayo Clinic, if you answered yes to any of these, you might be experiencing burnout or some level of that. And if you answered yes to any of these, I want you to know that it's not unusual. We are in a worldwide crisis that's been going on for 5 months. And when you have prolonged stress, your reserves are going to get drained. It's kind of like air coming out of a tire. You just let a little bit out every day, but over time that tire is going to become flat. And so with prolonged stress, you're going to have this depletion of your reserves emotionally, relationally, physically, and even spiritually. And if you feel like, man, as I read the Bible, nobody struggled with burnout. Let me tell you this, you are not alone. Take a look up on the screen here. As you look up on the screen, you're going to see that there are many of God's saints that experience burnout and depression. Jeremiah, David, Jonah, Elijah, Job, Moses, all of God's saints here experience severe levels of burnout. In fact, all of them, get this, they had suicidal thoughts. That's how fatigued they were. In fact, I'll point out some of Jonah's thoughts that he had when he was talking to God. Look at this in Jonah 4:3. He said, "And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Have you ever felt that way where you're like, I'm so overwhelmed or I'm so tired, it'd just be better if I didn't live? Jonah felt that way. And so all of these saints experienced burnout. But you know what? There's another one in the Bible that experienced burnout. I want you to guess who you think it is. Jesus. Jesus himself experienced times of fatigue and even burnout. In the Garden of Gethsemane, let me show you how Jesus was feeling. Let me show you his burned out emotions. In Mark 14:34, Jesus said this, "My soul is deeply grieved and overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In other words, Jesus said, "I am so sad, I'm so overwhelmed, I feel like I'm going to die." Have you ever felt that way? I have. And so my point in sharing this is, if you're burned out, if you're fatigued, you're not alone. Even Jesus experienced burnout. Now, Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man. And so if God in the flesh experienced burnout, all of us are going to experience some level of fatigue and some level of burnout from time to time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at, how did Jesus replenish himself when he was fatigued? How did Jesus refill and refresh his spirit when he was tired? We're going to look at ways that we can overcome burnout. Now, I think it goes without saying, but let me go ahead and say this. We already know, you already know the importance of getting proper sleep, eating well, making sure you get some exercise. And those are great things, and I highly encourage you to do that. But since you already know that, I want us to see, what did Jesus do that helped him to recover when he was fatigued? What did he do to refresh his body, his soul, his spirit? What did he do to help him when he was literally fatigued? I mean, the Bible says that he was weary at times. And so, in other words, I was thinking about it this way. What are some biblical self-care steps? And so I'm going to give you some phrases, and I want you to remember these. They're easy to remember. In fact, my mentor taught me these years ago. But if you do these three things that God says to do, I'm telling you, you will overcome fatigue. It will refresh you physically, spiritually, emotionally, and so on. So let's jump into the first one. What did Jesus do to help him refresh himself? Here it is. You divert daily. Say that with me. Divert daily. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus had this habit of diverting, of getting away from people, disconnecting, and going and spending time with God. He would take breaks from life so that he could be with God. Take a look at this. It says in Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and," say it with me, "pray." So Jesus was in the habit of diverting daily. We see this throughout the New Testament. He would divert. He would disconnect from work. He would disconnect from chores. And he would spend time alone with God. And he had a habit of this. And before demanding days, he would divert daily. After a very demanding work schedule, he would divert daily. And what diverting daily did for him as he spent time with God is it refreshed him, it strengthened him, it gave him what he needed so that he wouldn't get fried. And so, let me give you some examples of how I divert daily. And if you've been around, you've heard some of these from me. And I'd also say this, even if you've heard me say these, I would ask you, are you doing these? Because these are great ways to divert daily. So the first thing I do is when I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed, I just talk to God. That's a great way to be alone with God and pray. You just divert daily. And then I read the Bible or listen to the Bible with my YouTube app. And if you haven't downloaded that, I highly encourage you to download the Bible app. It's free. It's amazing. You can read the Bible to you. It's awesome. Then what I do is I often pray with my wife. And like today, here's what we did. Today, my wife had already left. And so she called me and I said, "Awesome, let's pray." And so we prayed on the phone probably for about 3 or 4 minutes. Sometimes we pray for a minute. It doesn't matter how long you pray. It's just that you divert daily and connect with God. Another thing I do is super helpful is that I try to sing one worship song a day. And I can't tell you how much this has helped me with stress and fatigue. You worship God. It says in the book of Ephesians that when you sing songs to God, that it fills you with His Spirit. And let me tell you this, when you're filled with God's Spirit, it's going to help you with fatigue. It's also going to help you from getting totally burned out. So I'd encourage you, just go to YouTube or play one of your favorite worship songs and just connect with God daily through music. Divert daily. Now, let's go back to Jesus. How did He divert daily? In this particular scripture, what He did was He would go to a place that was outside. Other verses or versions of this verse say that He would go to lonely places or He went to the wilderness. So He would get alone. He would go outside. So one of the ways, catch this, I love this. One of the ways Jesus connected with God was in nature. And let me ask you this. When you're outside, when you've been outside for a while in nature, do you often feel refreshed after a while? Like on some level, maybe mental refreshment or spiritual or physical? I think most of you would say, yeah, I have felt that way. And it's because we can worship God in His creation. Jesus had a habit of doing that. So I'd encourage you to get some time outside. In fact, I've talked to many of you who said, Dave, I'm just getting outside more. I'm walking. And that's something I've picked up during this pandemic. Is when I get home from work, it's usually like 6:30 at night, and I will go on a walk at a cemetery that's across the street. Sounds kind of weird, but it's a beautiful cemetery. It's Hawaiian Memorial Cemetery, and it's beautiful. And for me, when I'm out there at night, when the sun starts to go down, you get these beautiful sunsets, and there are times that I'll just talk to God. Other times I'll just be in solitude with Him. Sometimes I'll listen to a sermon, hear Him speak to me through that, or I'll listen to the Bible being read to me. Other times I'll have a worship song. But here's the point. I'm diverting daily, not just in the morning, but I'm doing that at night. And I'm telling you, that has been super refreshing for me because I'm also getting some exercise as well. And so I'd encourage you to do that. I know some of you might be thinking, Dave, I don't have time to divert daily. I've got these young kids around me, or I'm so busy with work and this and that. And trust me, I know how busy life can be. And I was listening to a mom, and she was saying that what she does is to divert daily, to get away when the kiddos are around. You know what she does? She goes to the restroom. She's like, I don't even have to use the restroom, but I'll go to the restroom, I'll close the door, and I'll just hang with God. She said, it's been so refreshing for me. And so here's what I found, is that we can find time to be with God. It doesn't have to be long. You could divert daily in your car. You could divert daily on your walk to your office or to your job site. You can divert daily anywhere. But here's the point. Let's do that. Let's divert daily. And you watch how God will bless you. In fact, when you get alone with God in a room, look at this promise that God has for us. When you pray, Jesus said this, go to your room and close the door. Pray privately to your Father who is with you. Your Father who sees what you do in private, watch this, He will, say it with me, reward you. Watch this. Jesus says, I promise that when you get into a room alone by yourself, I promise to reward you. You go, wow, what does God reward us with? I find that He rewards us with His presence. Sometimes He rewards us by speaking to us. Sometimes He rewards us by refreshing and renewing our heart, our mind, our soul. But I love this verse. This verse, the first time I read it many, many years ago, I thought, wow, that is so cool. When I get alone with God, He promises to do something. He promises to reward me. What a blessing. So let's divert daily. All right, now let's get into the second thing that Jesus did. If you take a look up on the screen here, here's what Jesus did. Not only did He divert daily, but this is what He teaches us. We need to withdraw weekly. Withdraw weekly. Jesus had a habit of withdrawing weekly from His work. He took a day off every week to withdraw from labor. And you know what? He didn't feel guilty about that. And neither do you. Do you sometimes feel guilty when you take a day off? You don't have to. Jesus withdrew weekly, and when he didn't feel guilty. And listen to this. Even though he took one day off every 7 days, he accomplished more than anybody has in 3.5 years of his public ministry. See, a lot of times we don't take a Sabbath day, a day off, because we think, oh, I'm going to get so behind. Yet, that's one of the purposes of the Sabbath. It's to learn how to trust God. And he will bless that rest, and he'll bless your labors. And so I want to encourage you, if you aren't already, take one day off every 6 days. The Bible calls this a holy Sabbath day. And get this, it's so important to God that you withdraw weekly, that God put this Sabbath day up with the Ten Commandments. Right up with don't murder, don't steal. God says, make sure you take one day off every 7 days. Make sure you withdraw weekly. I mean, it's that important to God. And a lot of us, we take a day off from work, but you know what we do on our Sabbath day? Is we catch up on our chores. We catch up on things that we're behind on. We do things that are draining, not refreshing. And the word Sabbath actually means to cease and desist from all labor. It means, push those chores on the side. Wait till the next day. It means don't answer emails that are work-related. It says, cease and desist from all labor. Now, you know what's powerful? As you look up on the screen, you're going to see that God actually models withdrawing weekly. When God created the world, check this out. Exodus 31:17. It says, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, say it with me, he rested and was refreshed. So watch this. When God was creating the world, on the first day he worked. On the second day he worked. On the third day he worked. On the fourth day he worked. On the fifth and sixth day he worked. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested from work. And because he rested from work, he was refreshed. What a verse. You see, our Creator knows that from the very beginning that we couldn't run on all 8 cylinders, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and be productive. He just knows that. He knows that that burns us out, that fries our circuits. And so he has said every 7 days, withdraw weekly. And it's interesting, so many things need a rest, not just us. Did you know that you can't keep a violin string strung at concert pitch all the time? You just can't do that. If you do, it'll break. And so you have to unwind the string. Why? To give it rest. Did you know, get this, even dirt needs to rest. I'm not making this up. I have a friend who grew up on a large farm, and they would plant half of their hundreds and hundreds of acres with corn and the other half with soybeans. And so that's what they would do 1 year. And then the next year they would flip the crops. Where there was corn, they would now plant soy. And where there was soy, they would now plant corn. Why? Because they knew that corn takes nitrogen out of the soil and soybeans put it back. It needed rest. And so sometimes farmers will actually let their dirt, their land, rest for an entire year. Why? Because even dirt needs rest. Now stop and think about that. If violin strings and dirt needs rest, how much more do we need rest, right? And so let's go back to God. You say, well, wait, it says that God, after 6 days when he created the world, he actually took a day off and rested? I mean, he's God. Did God really need to rest? And the answer is, he didn't need the rest because he's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. So why do you think God rested on the seventh day? Let me think about that. Was he tired? Do you think God said at the end of the week of creating the world, he's like, I'm exhausted. I've had such a busy week just creating the world and everything. And I just need a break. And then when he got to Friday, he said, thank me, it's Friday. I mean, is that what God said? No. You know, God didn't rest because he was fatigued. Because God doesn't get tired. See, God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omnipowerful. Here's why he rested. He rested to be refreshed. And if God rested to be refreshed, how much more do we need to rest to be refreshed? And so we need to withdraw weekly. It's so absolutely important. So it's kind of like we're like batteries. And if you think about it, like the batteries in our cell phone, when our phones are fully charged, they function great, but if after time they get depleted too much, they no longer work. They just shut down. I think the same is true for us. If we don't replenish ourselves and charge ourselves up by withdrawing weekly, diverting daily, and doing things that replenish us, then we end up being drained. And we end up not functioning the way that God intended us to function. So I want you to think about this. What recharges you? Like, what replenishes you? I think a lot of us know the activities, the people, the things that drain us. But what recharges you? What refreshes you? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about who are you with when you start to feel some energy, you start to feel rejuvenated and refreshed and recharged. What are you doing? What activities? What tasks? I want you to think about when does that happen? Certain time of the day. Like some people, they get recharged in the morning more than at night. Other people, they get so recharged in the evening. They're night owls. So I want you to think about who, what, and when. Who are you with? What are you doing? And at what time? Because this is very important. If you want to replenish, you have to stay recharged. If you want to overcome burnout, you've got to recharge your emotions. You've got to replenish your spirit. You've got to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So what are some of these things that help you feel that? Now, I asked a bunch of people this week, what are some of the things that help you feel recharged that you've been doing during the pandemic? And I want to share some of these examples with you. And I'm hoping that some of them might give you some ideas of what you could do. Because, I mean, the truth is, let's be honest, there are some limitations we have during this pandemic, right? There's just some things that do recharge us that we can't do. And if we focus on what we can't do over and over and over, it's just going to spiral us down. Instead, let's focus on what we can do. So let me give you some ideas of some things that people said. Lots of people said riding bikes has been very rejuvenating and replenishing to them. One person said, this woman said, I'm restoring a bike. I'm revitalizing it. And that's just been so recharging to me. Another person said, you know what we do, me and my family? We will stop a movie in a part of the movie, and then we will reenact the scene, and it is hilarious and super refreshing. I love that idea. That person also said, we're also doing some nights karaoke or karaoke, and we do it on YouTube. We just pull up karaoke songs on YouTube, and we sing it, and it's so fun doing that at home. Another person said this, you know what's been refreshing to me? She said, solitude. Doing absolutely nothing. And you know what the Bible calls that? Sabbath. Ceasing and desisting all labor. Shabbat, Sabbath. Doing nothing. It's refreshing, of course. Another person said doing home projects. Another person said taking naps. I mean, that's very physically replenishing for many when we take a nap. Other people said this, cooking. One person said, I just love baking food for people. And if that's you, if you love baking food for people, I just want you to know, I love eating food from other people. No, but you get the point. For some of you, it's watching sports. This is a big replenisher, recharger for people. Music. Now, I talked about worship music before, but other kinds of music as well can be very replenishing to the soul, the spirit, and the emotions. Some other people said this, journaling scriptures and writing poems. Other people said working out. Now, here's a good one for you, okay? Check this out. I know a lot of us are on lockdown, and so we can't go to the gym, right? And so you know what you can do? This person said they're doing FaceTime workouts with friends. So they'll FaceTime a friend and do a workout at home. Great idea. I love this one. Fixing and refurbishing things. And then here's a few ideas. Some people said this. We're camping in the backyard with the whole family. That's been very fun. We've had the kids and grandkids together because we all live in the same house. And then my favorite of everything was this. This woman said, you know what's really blessed me? Dancing with my husband in the backyard. I thought, that is so cool. But here's the point. What replenishes you? What refreshes you? Is it board games? Is it reading? Is it silence? Is it solitude? Is it singing? Find some time. Like, make time to withdraw weekly and replenish your soul. Okay? So let's review. What did Jesus do? He diverted daily. He withdrew weekly. And then here's the last thing that we learned from God's word, and that is we need to abandon annually. What does that mean? That means that we need to take some vacation. Did you know that God actually encourages us to take vacation? Let me show you this in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see that God instituted feasts. These were annual times of celebration for his people to pause and to remember the Lord and all that he did. And the Israelites, they never went a year without abandoning annually. In other words, taking some time off during the year. So I listed them because I want you to see this pattern of rest that God wants us to take from our labors. So you had all these various feasts. This is how long they lasted. You had like the Feast of Tabernacles, or some people call it the Feast of Booths. That was 8 days, so that was a week's vacation. Passover, 7 days. Then you had some single day holidays. And by the way, these were called holy days. The word holiday actually comes from holy days. And so when you take rest, catch this, they become holy days where you can focus your attention on God and on the people you love the most. And it becomes a holy, supernaturally blessed day. Now look at how many days God gave them in a year. They got all these days, which was 24 days here, and then one Sabbath day withdrawing weekly, once a week, that's 52 days, 76 days a year. Now I want you to think about this. If you and I, if we divert daily, we withdraw weekly and we take our Sabbath, if you just withdraw weekly, you will take 52 days off in a year. But then if you get a week or two or three of vacation, you're going to be even more refreshed. I highly encourage us to make some time to withdraw. See, many of us have not had much vacation time, if any, because we've been working through this pandemic. I would encourage you to make some time off more than just one day. Take some extended time off. And I know we're on lockdown right now in Hawaii, but you know what? You can still take time off during lockdown if you're not working. You can have a staycation at home. That's what we've been doing with my family. You could plan a few weeks or a month or two from now, plan a staycation here on the island or wherever you live around the world, where maybe you stay at a hotel if you can. Or you just make time off. It's extended time of rest. And when you do that, you're going to be replenished and refreshed. Now, I know some of us are thinking, Dave, I feel guilty when I take time off. And I understand that. I've struggled with that in the past. But remember, Jesus didn't when he took time off. And I've just learned that sometimes the best thing we can do is take care of ourselves because we're taking care of so many people. You know, if we're in a plane right now and we're experiencing a lot of turbulence, and the turbulence got so bad that the oxygen mask dropped, you know what the flight attendant would be saying to us? He or she would be saying, you put that oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on the others. Now, why would they say that? Catch this. Because before we can care for others, we got to care for ourselves. We need to
divert daily. We need to withdraw weekly. We need to abandon annually. And it's like putting that mask on so then we can care for others. You know, one of the best gifts I can give you as your pastor is to be healthy and refreshed. And that's why I want to thank you for the times you let me take some time off. Because the best thing I can give you is to be healthy and refreshed. And that's the same thing you can do with others. Here's the last thing I want to say. You know what all of these three things do when you do them? What do they do? When you divert daily, you withdraw weekly, take a holy Sabbath day, and you abandon annually, it focuses you on God. These three things, this is why Jesus did this. It focused him on God. And if you want to overcome burnout, if you want to overcome fatigue, divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Before I pray for us, we're going to hear the testimony of a song called Hills and Valleys. And we're going to hear from the artist of that song, Torrin Wells, why he wrote that song and the purpose and meaning behind that. And I think you'll find that helpful because the reality is all of us are going through hills and valleys right now. Now, our own Brandon Mafua is going to sing the song, and then afterwards, we're going to see a beautiful dance from our halal. So watch this, and then I'll come back and pray.
It's funny because this is a song that I really didn't even intend on writing. I was just sitting there at the piano at my church and just kind of playing and singing through some things, and I had this quote come to mind that said, "When you are on the mountaintops of life, learn to bow low. And when you're in the valleys of life, learn to stand tall." And I thought, man, this is a perfect picture for the believer. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but it's true for me that when I get to the mountaintops of life, the great experiences of life, the successes of life, I can start to feel like, man, this was me. I did this. I worked this. I climbed this mountain. But it's really in those moments that we have to learn to bow low in high places, remembering that it's God who set us there. And yet on the flip side, sometimes when I'm in the valleys of life, it's like, God, where are you? You left me here by myself. And that's not true either, because God sees us in the valleys and we're not alone. The thing for the believer is for us to understand how we deal with this tension of these mountaintop moments and these valley moments. And it's to remember this, that no matter where we're at, we're standing in God's grace. And that no matter what we have, His grace is enough. He's the God of the hills and the God of the valleys.
I've walked among the shadows, you wiped my tears away, and I felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days, and I've prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held the blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone.
I've watched my dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hand.
On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my
when I'm walking through the valley. No, I am not alone. Your God of hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of hills and valleys, and I am not alone. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain. Over it all, Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain. Over it all,
mountains I will bow my life. In the valley I will lift my eyes. Yeah,
on the mountain I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, so I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone.
Valleys, and I will choose to stay. Blessed be your name, yeah, yeah, and I am not alone.
And that's what Jesus Christ is. He is the God of the hills and the valleys that we go through in life. And I want to encourage you to keep coming close to Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. So let's come to him right now in a word of prayer. If you wouldn't mind just bowing your heads with me, let's go before him right now. Jesus, thank you so much that you care about the refreshment of our body, our mind, and our soul. Thank you for what you modeled for us, biblical self-care. And God, you know many of us through this pandemic, we've become fatigued. For some of us, we're emotionally fatigued. Others of us are relationally fatigued or financially or just personally tired. And I just want to pray, God, for each and every person that has some level of fatigue. God, refresh our souls. Refresh our minds, our hearts, and our spirits right now, God. And going forward, Lord, we're going to make time to divert daily. God, thank you that there are so many ways we can do that, to just get alone with you, to hear you speak to us through your written words, the Bible. God, to hear a sermon or to worship you through music or just talk to you or listen to you or be in solitude. So God, help us to divert daily so that we can be refreshed and recharged. And Jesus, I just thank you that you took a weekly Sabbath. You withdrew weekly, and we want to do the same. We want to be refreshed by honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. And so God, thank you for the various ideas and activities that can refresh and rejuvenate us and point us back to you on our holy day off each week. And God, I thank you that you care about vacations. I thank you that you want us to abandon annually. And you know, Lord, many of us haven't been able to have vacation time during this pandemic. And so I pray, God, that you would show us some creative ways to staycation at home. And I pray, God, you would bless each and every person with a few days off or many days off in the near future, God, so that we can not only divert daily and withdraw weekly, but we can abandon annually. Thank you, God, for caring about us and wanting to refresh us. With everybody's heads bowed, you know, the number one thing to do to overcome fatigue and burnout is to develop a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. It's the number one thing. And the reason why that's so important is that when you begin a relationship with God,
He removes the weight of guilt that has fatigued many of you. He not only does that, but He puts His Holy Spirit in you. And that Spirit from Jesus, it's called the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, it's called the Spirit of Jesus. He actually takes residence in your body. And let me tell you, when Jesus is living in your body in spirit form, you're going to have more energy and strength. And you can tap into that Spirit during difficult times. So if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've drifted from Him, or you've swayed and just kind of gone sideways in your relationship with Him, why don't you renew your commitment to Him right now or begin a relationship with Him? So if you'd like to begin or renew your relationship with Jesus, do it now. Don't wait. You can do it by saying these words with me. Just say, Jesus Christ, I turn from my sins and I turn to You. I believe You died on a cross and rose from the dead so that I can have a relationship with You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Be my Lord and Savior, my life leader. I give my life to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? Amen. Well, we congratulate all of you who just renewed or began a relationship with Jesus. And if you began a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to send you some materials to help you in your relationship with Him. You can email us at info@nhww.org. And we'll send you some resources that can help you in your relationship with Him. Well, once again, thanks again for joining us today. Please share this message with others. And I hope you can join us next week as we have another message that can help us in this pandemic.